Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Albert, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's happening, guys?
Lot happening. We got to get into Baker Mayfield whining about the refs. But before that, the breaking news, Josh Gordon goes on the IR, even though he's just about ready to play. What is happening there with him and the Patriots?
Well, I would just tell you that I think this is like akin to him being released. They've got numbers crunch on their roster. They've got, like, essentially when N'Keal Harry comes back as a first-round pick, we'll have seven receivers in the roster. They'd have seven receivers in the roster. That's not even counting Matthew Slater, who just from an accounting standpoint would probably count as one. Most teams only carry five or six. And so I think something had to give here. That was pretty obvious. And other teams are actually starting to actively look at, okay, like, what are the Patriots going to do? Are they going to trade Josh Gordon? Are they going to trade Philip Dorsett? And so it seems to me like maybe they were trying to get him over onto IR and stash him there for the rest of the year, but he's not. He doesn't have a season-ending injury. And yeah. So that's sort of the thing is, like, you put him on IR, then maybe you release him with an injury settlement. Then he gets out there, and, I think he probably has some value to somebody right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, if the Patriots are looking at Josh Gordon
back,
what's that?
You guys want
No. We got enough problems right now.
Yeah. I mean, you'd take the talent, but we don't need the headache of Josh Gordon. So we'll probably pass on.
They got enough talent at wide receiver.
But it is telling, though. I mean, if Josh Gordon can't make it with the Patriots, you know, that's like the one team that it's like the last resort that gives you the second and third chance. And I just wonder if he'll ever do anything in this league again. I mean, obviously someone will pick him up, but I mean, my goodness, this guy is
You know what? I honestly, though, Dustin, I don't have any evidence that anything went wrong here. I think, like, as much as anything, like, the numbers got to them. They've got, like, young guys they like on the roster. And he was good, not great in New England. He wasn't irreplaceable. And I think if you're, like, from their standpoint, if you're looking at it, you know, from a numbers standpoint, right, and just the way the roster breaks down, he might be the one that's the logical one to go. I mean, they've got a rookie, this guy, Gunnar Olszewski, who's returning punts for them, so there's value in that. Jacoby Myers played well the other night. He's an undrafted free agent who they believe can be an impact guy for them going forward. You go down the line and it's like, you know, maybe it makes sense to cut ties with the guy that, I mean, you don't know if he's going to be there in November or December. And that's not, like, again, like, I don't want to be callous about it, but, with his addiction and everything else, I don't know if you can really, and you guys know this better than anybody, I don't know if he's there in November or December. And so if you just add it all up, and that's part of the equation, and you look at their depth chart at receiver, it's like maybe that's the guy you do move on because, you're more worried about where you're going to be in December and January than where you are right now.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, all right, let's get to Baker. I don't know if you – did you hear his comments about the officials today?
I did not, no.
All right, so first of all, a few weeks ago, Odell Beckham talked about being picked on. And, right. But that has to do with money more than on the field. All right, we didn't like that. And Freddie kind of said, yeah, the league's picking on him. And I made the statement that I don't like, when you say the league's picking on you, that's kind of a loser mentality. When the coach accepts that, to me, it signals like anytime something goes wrong, well, what can I do? The league's picking on me. Baker complained about the officiating in the Seattle game. We know the officiating's bad all over the league. Nobody's signaling. Right. And then he made this comment today. Here, let's play the clip.
One, I wouldn't say it's complaining when it was blatantly obvious. I'd say that's just stating facts. But freedom of speech, I thought, you know, it's okay. But I get fined for it. It's the league. That's what they do. They fine you for some ridiculous things. It's just how it is. But there's a reason everybody's talking about it. It's not just me. It goes for every team. With how our team is, we're not going to get a lot of calls, and we know that, especially going into this week. There's no no time to worry about it, no time to stress about it. Just play our game.
Hey, when you say that I'll probably get fined for this, is that like a throwaway
line? That's enough, Dave. We're not going to get the calls, especially this week, Albert. We both think that's a terrible attitude. He says, "Don't you can't worry about it." He's worrying about it. It seems
to me. I don't know. I mean, like I don't think it's a loser mentality to say we can't worry about the call. I mean, that's the correct mentality, right? Like you want to do everything you can to make sure that the officials aren't determining the game, and that's what most coaches would tell you. Saying that you're being picked on, saying you're being targeted. I mean, look, I think we've heard that from everybody. It's sort of a bad look to act as if when the climate looks across the league, it's a bad look, I think, to kind of like look at it like, oh, they're just out to get us. And so, you know, that's sort of the way it is. I don't know, like when you're talking about this week, I don't know if he's referencing like, you know, maybe Tom Brady getting superstar calls on quarterback hits or whatever. But I don't think like, I don't know. There's nothing I've seen that's happened with the Browns that's not consistent with what's happened across the rest of the league, which is complete inconsistency in the way games are being officiated. So maybe the Browns have it bad, but there are a lot of teams that have it bad.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I feel like we've had this conversation all day, Albert. I mean, talking about this because Baker spoke before the show, that, you know, Freddie Kitchens is kind of the leader out there, and he talks about the calls a lot. And I feel like, you know, if the players are kind of taking on that mentality that, hey, you know, we're getting screwed by the officials, they're out to get us, you know, Odell's getting targeted because of the watch and all these things and the pants and all that, like, I just feel like it can be like a distraction to some degree. Like, if you're going into a game thinking that, well, you're not going to get any calls, you're going to get screwed, I hate that. I don't know that it's a loser mentality, but it certainly can take away from your focus, I think, to some degree.
Yeah, and I think, like, honestly, the best organizations I've been around do their best to sort of minimize all of that. And, like, look, it's, you know, and I'll just go back to, like, the way that New England's always talk, because you do business is being done, right? So if the officiating's bad, you're prepared for bad officiating. If the rules are a certain way, you're prepared for the rules to be a certain way. And, I hate to say it, but, like, with Odell, it's like, you know, like, look, like, you may not like the rules, is pretty black and white. You know, the thing about the knee pads, like, we heard receivers complain about that a few years ago. And, yeah, that's not great, but it's, like, the rule's right there. And if you break it, like, they told you, you were going to be fined for it. So it's not like you're being targeted. You were told what the rules are. You put yourself in a position where, like, the uniform inspectors are watching you because of the watch thing earlier, right? Like, so, like, you've already kind of put yourself in that position where you might be the first one that they're looking at when you come out in the field because you've broken these rules in the past. And, you know, like, now you break the rule again, and it's, like, again, it's black and white. I mean, those rules aren't there for no reason. You know, those rules are there because the league's been, like, sued for player safety stuff and everything else, you know? And so, I think there's some criticism over the last few years that's been unfair towards Odell, but this one's pretty black and white, dude. Like, you broke the rule.
Yeah.
And, like, it's right there for you. And if you're okay paying fines, that's fine, whatever. You know, do whatever you need to do. You know, but don't act as if, you know, you didn't know or that this wasn't black and white. It's there for you. And thinking you're going to get away with it after you've already sort of run afoul of these rules and the problem. And I'd say this, too, like, in the larger picture, you've sort of created something for everybody else to have to talk about, too, which isn't ideal.
Right. We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, obviously, the trade deadline's next Tuesday. We've seen a bunch of significant moves. Mohamed Sanu, Emmanuel Sanders, been a lot of moves. Jalen Ramsey, on and on and on. The Browns, there's been a lot of rumors about them trying to get an offensive lineman. We've heard Trent Williams. We've heard Nate Solder. Maybe the Eagles have an extra offense. I don't know. Are the Browns going to make a move for a significant offensive lineman, do you think, in the next 6 days?
Yeah, and I think that they've got some spare pieces where you could see players from the Browns involved in deals like this. And I'm writing a trade column for tomorrow, so some of this is going to be in there. But, you know, like a TJ Carey who's, you know, now got some starting experience because of the situation you were in and their teams that need corners. you know, Hollywood Higgins is sort of falling down on the depth chart. Like, there are certain guys where they could have value to other teams. They play premium positions. They play positions of need in other places where I actually think the Browns may have an opportunity to get a little creative and go and get a guy. And I look at somebody like Vitae from Philly, you know, and I'm not going to embarrass myself and try to pronounce his first name. We've all called him Big V, right?
Yeah.
Who started at left tackle in a Super Bowl, and maybe he's not Joe Thomas, but I think he'd be better right now than what you're rolling out there. I think there's some opportunity there. So, you know, I think that the Browns are in a really interesting spot because, you know, I think most teams that have offensive line depth, because it's so hard to build, don't want to part with it. But if you can match, like, these teams' needs, then you have a chance, you know? So if you can match, like, Philly's corner need with somebody like Carey, like, maybe you'd have a chance of working something out there. Does that make sense? You know, like, Philly wouldn't want to move on from a depth piece in the offensive line for a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick. But if you offer something to fix their roster now, maybe you have a chance to do that.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see what happens here, certainly with the offensive line. But back to Baker Mayfield for a moment here, Albert. You know, this guy has had a rough start to the season. He leads the league, I believe, in interceptions and near the bottom in nearly every passing category. How do you think he bounces back after the bye week?
I think he's gonna play well.
I do.
I think he's capable. Yeah. I just know what he's up against. And he's up against a defense that's playing at an absolutely historic level.
No doubt.
And he's up against a defense that faced an offense that last week that had, I think, like, I don't think the Jets offense is as good as the Browns offense, but has similar strengths and weaknesses, right? Like, they've got pretty good skill players in New York. They've got really good skill players in Cleveland. And both teams have an offensive line issue. And how'd that go? Basically, the Patriots said, okay, we're going to man you up across the board. We've got the players to snuff out all of your skill players. And we're going to sort of kitchen sink at your young quarterback. And, of course, before long, NFL Films is on the sideline catching Sam saying he's seen ghosts. Now, I know that's a common term, but it's, like, very true of the way – it's very indicative of the way that Sam played. And so, you know, I like Baker's ability to bounce back eventually. And, you know, I think he's got a shot to finish the season strong. This week, though, with the offensive line issue that they have and – New England's ability, especially with those versatile linebackers, to get after the quarterback and create confusion and create chaos. Look, this team, that Patriots defense is on a pace that's way ahead of where, like, the 2000 Ravens were, way ahead of where the 85 Bears were, way ahead of where the 2002 Bucks were through the same point of the season. They're playing at an unbelievable level. And so, you know, again, I think Baker can come back and bounce back and play well. I don't know if this is the week that it happens. And that, again, isn't so much indicative of him. It's more indicative of what he's up against.
Albert, who's some of the biggest names we could see get traded?
So, I think it's going to be active. I think you've got to look at some of the teams first that are sort of out of the race. And so I would look at Atlanta. They've been shopping Vic Beasley. I think teams are going to ask about Austin Hooper, who at this point is like a top 5 or 10 tight end. They have to give up a lot to get him. Devondre Campbell in Atlanta is another one. Denver, I think, is still going to listen, even after trading Emmanuel Sanders. Chris Harris is a guy who could be moved. I don't think they move Von Miller, but they'll get calls on Von. Cincinnati is going to get a lot of calls. I don't see them moving guys.
They should. It's so stupid that they don't.
Yeah, and then there's some other. The Bengals, so here's the thing. And I know, Bull, this one hits home a little bit for you. But I think with the Bengals, one of the things is, A, it's not their history, but B, I do think there's a logical thing here, which is they want to, like, after the way the season started, they do want to, like, try to help Zach Taylor build a foundation. And, you know, they know how much harder that's going to be to do if all of a sudden they're conducting a fire sale halfway through his first season. And how that could really undermine any chance he has to build some momentum going into 2020. And so I do think there's a good logical reason not to just go and strip it down. That said, if somebody blows you away for one of those guys, you know, Geno, a Carlos Dunlap, AJ Green, whoever it might be, you know, I think you have to listen. So, yeah. And then beyond that, I mean, Janoris Jenkins, somebody I could see, you know, getting moved. I mentioned, you know, Higgins and Carey, I think as pieces of the Browns could move for maybe players from other teams. So there are some interesting names out there. Michael Bennett from New England, who's fallen out of favor. There's you know, 10 to 20, I think, really solid names that could move, and I think could move for decent returns based on what we saw Sanu and Sanders go for yesterday.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I like Sanu. He's a nice player, but I was – and with the Patriots, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. But I was surprised they got a second – were able to get a second-round pick in that deal.
Yeah, and you know what? That's all about competition, because San Francisco was in on that one too, and there's, I think, three or four other teams that are out there actively looking for receiver help right now. And, I mean, I think that's sort of what we are, guys, you know? Like, I think 5 years ago, you wouldn't have that sort of competition ahead of the trade deadline. And there are different reasons why. I mean, I think it's, you know, there were older GMs back then. The norms were different back then. The cap was lower, so less teams had cap space to make big moves at the trade deadline. So there are lots of reasons why. But I just think a huge part of that is if you want to go and get someone now, there's going to be competition to go and get those players if they're significant. And so, you know, the Patriots and the Niners, I think both were in situations yesterday where there was serious competition for – there was serious competition out there for the players that they were looking for, and, you know, between each other and three or four other teams. And ultimately, that's what drives the market. It's amazing to think about this, right? So New England 9 years ago got a third-round pick for Randy Moss. Yesterday, they paid more than that for Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Two trade deadlines, 9 years apart. I mean – Randy Moss versus Mohamed Sanu. Sanu got you more than Randy Moss got you 9 years ago. But that's amazing. Indicative of how the market's changed.
Yeah, no doubt. Should be an interesting week. Thanks, Albert. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks,
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, does a great job as always.